As part of my summer reading, I thought I'd try to escape theology for a bit and treat myself to Bill Bryson's A Short History of Nearly Everything. But there is no escape from theology for me. I've just read about the discovery of dinosaurs. What is fascinating is that scientists in earlier chapters of his book have figured out such things as how much the Earth weighs and how far we are from the sun. The theory of gravity has been sorted, and the laws of thermodynamics have been sussed. But 18th and 19th century scientists are still stymied by how old the Earth is. Sure, in 1650, Archbishop James Usher studied the Old Testament carefully and other historical sources and proclaimed famously that God created the Earth at midday on October 23rd, 4004 BC. But even his contemporaries found his conclusion amusing. Most scientists, even then, agreed that the Earth was ancient, but they were clueless as to how old or even how to figure it out. As late as 1862, Lord Kelvin, one of the brightest of his generation, could only put it somewhere between 20 million and 400 million years old. Darwin was more exacting. He came up with the number 306,662,400 years. But it was so controversial a figure that he had to leave it out of his third edition of The Origin of the Species. It was dinosaurs that would lead to the answer. But first they had to figure out what they were. An American discovered the first dinosaur fossil in 1787, but had no clue as to what he'd found. It wouldn't be until 1841 that dinosaurs would be accepted as a species that no longer existed on Earth. The problem for these scientists was scripture and theology. To accept the idea of dinosaurs required accepting the idea of extinction, accepting that from time to time, the Earth experienced global catastrophes in which entire groups of creatures were wiped out, seemed impossible from their scriptural worldview. For religious people, the idea of extinction raised uncomfortable implications, since it suggested an unaccountably casualness on the part of God. Why would God create species only to wipe them out later? The notion was contrary to the belief that the world was carefully ordered and that every living thing within it had a place and a purpose, and always had, and always would. Wasn't that in part the point of having Noah save a mating pair of every living creature when God did bring catastrophe? Even the enlightened Thomas Jefferson, not much of a believer himself, could abide the idea that a whole species might be permitted to vanish, or evolve for that matter. Part of his rationale for sending Lewis and Clark to explore his new Louisiana purchase was out of the hope they would find herds of healthy mastodons at home where the buffalo roam and the deer and the antelope play. But as more and more fossils were discovered in more and more geological strata, it became clear that there had been many, many extinctions of countless species. With this knowledge, the prevailing view of divine providence had to evolve. A mere 150 years later, we read the story of Herod's slaughter of the innocents and the Holy Family's flight to Egypt with a whole new perspective than all those who read it prior to the discovery of dinosaurs. For Matthew's first readers, it was a story that connected Jesus to their very roots. Hearing about Mary's husband having prophetic dreams would remind them of another Joseph who ended up in exile from his family in Egypt, who later saved that family during a time of famine. hearing of baby boys slaughtered by the empire would remind Matthew's readers of the way Moses narrowly escaped that fate as well. And any Jew hearing the story in first century Palestine would remember the more recent terrors under Antiochus, when any mother caught circumcising her son would be rewarded with a dead baby hung around her neck. There is another memory Matthew wishes to stir up when he quotes Jeremiah 31:15, which called to mind the matriarch Rachel as the Babylonians sacked Jerusalem and marched families off into exile. Rachel's weeping occupies a key turning point in Jeremiah when the prophet shifts from declaring God's judgment to promises of hope. He says, "Keep your voice from weeping. There is hope for your future. Your children shall come back." It is at this point we run into trouble with the story, now that we know about dinosaurs. Like all those who heard the story for the first 1850 years, we know that the world can be a harsh and dangerous place. It is no less true today than it was when Jesus was born. Not too far from Bethlehem, this past week, innocent women and children are being slaughtered in Gaza. Across the Red Sea from Gaza, children are dying of famine in Darfur. To the east of Gaza, Iraqi children who managed to survive American bombs and suicide bombers live as refugees in Syria, where they are prostituted by desperate parents. And these are only a few of the innocents slaughtered. Every minute, 20 children around the world die from something preventable. Today alone, 26,500 innocents will die. So much for all those warm, cozy Christmas feelings. The Christmas wrappings are in the rubbish bin. The gifts we didn't want are returned. The visa bill has arrived. The needles have fallen off the tree. This should be called Back to the Real World Sunday. But it was a nice ride while it lasted, for it fed our hopes for a better future, our hope for a God who saves us. What has changed after dinosaurs is any sense of special divine protection for the human species. Even for those who still hold on to the idea of a white-bearded external deity sitting on a throne in heaven, monitoring every prayer left on his answer phone, there is clear evidence he will let us destroy ourselves without lifting a finger. That realization is no small challenge to faith and hope. That is why biblical literalists state with a straight face that dinosaurs never existed. For them, fossils are a divine fraud planted to challenge the faithless. However, for those of us not in denial about dinosaurs, where do we put our hope? Where do we go to keep Christmas from being slaughtered by the cruel realities that surround us? Post-dinosaurs, we hear Matthew's claim that Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us, in a new way. For us, the Christmas story is about discovering God within us. Discovering divine love within our hearts gives us hope in the power of one to save us. On Christmas Day, I called my sister in the States, and she shared with me two Power of One stories with me. The first was of a friend of hers, a physician in her congregation, John Sands, who visited Kenya with missionaries from the same congregation who have an orphanage there. He discovered that the children were all suffering from malnutrition because of a noxious weed called striga. which drastically reduces the crops that they grow to feed the children. Striga compensates for having no root system of its own by penetrating the roots of other plants, diverting essential nutrients, stunting their growth, and reducing significantly their cereal yield. John introduced a fungus to their crops that only harms the weeds. Now they are able to grow enough food to feed the children. The second Power of One story is of a Boston pediatrician, Chris Olson, who spent half of his year abroad recently feeling helpless in the face of the slaughter of innocents. Everywhere I went, it was stillborn, 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 he said of his work in such places as Burma, Thailand, and Darfur. Almost 40% of deaths happen in the first 28 days of life, and they are unseen deaths buried in the backyard. But in a lot of cases, they just needed to be given a breath, and they would have lived. He responded by finding that what is little more than a straw with a tiny mask attached, costing $7, and then training 330 midwives in Sumatra how to use it by putting it over the baby's mouth and blowing. When he returned to the area after the initial training, he was greeted by excited midwives shouting out the numbers of babies they had each saved. These two stories remind us that Jesus was not born just on Christmas Day, but in these two doctors as well. Their compassion, empathy, and personal accountability remind us that in spite of the extinction of dinosaurs, God is within us, filling us with hope. Amen.